fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand, so let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
Common Sense Radio, that's right, it's Thursday night, it's 8 p.m. and you're right where you should be, in front of your radio or listening on the cool little app on your phone called TuneIn or streaming at fmtalk1065.com, because it's Thursday and it's another whirlwind week of who knows what kind of fake news and propaganda and nonsense and absurdities and silliness, and you're here to get grounded, take a deep breath, relax, and sift through the nonsense and what really matters and what's the real truth. And we appreciate you so much being here, and we know that you appreciate us coming back week after week, even though the temperatures are frigid, and even though the electrons were all huddled together in pitiful little masses trying to stay warm, but our loving engineer came, and he warmed them all. Through his own tender, loving care, he held them all in the palm of his hand, and he warmed them with his own little body heat. Rubbed those little electrons till they got nice and toasty warm and ready to come spreading out to you. He sanitized his hands. Sanitized, clean, warm, and ready to meet your ears with the truth and all other good common sense stuff that we do here. And that is from our award-winning engineer emeritus, Charlie Moss.
You know what I miss are radios with vacuum tubes in them.
Yeah.
Because on a night like tonight, you could put your hands on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Besides
yes.
Oral Roberts healing you.
Yes.
You could also warm yourself up.
You could, yes.
Try that on a radio today.
Yeah, no. But those tubes would warm you. They mm-hmm. would. I remember all that. And fortunate for you listeners, we have adult supervision in the studio, and we have our director of quality assurance, head of the research department, executive producer, co-host, and Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
Great to be here.
Always.
Another week down.
She's been out there busy doing all sorts of stuff, working with the Health Freedom Alabama people, and we may have some updates on that and all sorts of stuff. There's lots going on. We're going to get into Biden's strange little press, whatever mm-hmm. that's going on, and how the Dems are falling all over themselves and failing to pass their agenda. But we got to start with terror, because mm-hmm. we always – what a bizarre the Texas synagogue thing.
Oh.
That was just strange, right? This guy – first of all, how did this guy get in the country – MI6 knew, or MI5, whoever, over there in England, they all knew it, but it was a bad guy. How did he get in the country? He was on all sorts of lists, and then he gets over there, and thankfully, they first said, oh, his only issue was he wanted some, there's some female Islamist doctor who's in prison. Oh, that's all he wants. And then the FBI came out strangely and said, well, this wasn't, he had a single motive for this releasing this particular prisoner. It really didn't have any focus on the Jewish community.
Mm.
Do what?
Yeah.
The guy went in there, and now we know, and this is what he went in there and said, we're here to effing kill the Jews.
Yeah, it's kind of clear.
He said that coming in the door. And then he also, they have him saying, we're coming to effing America to give Americans an effing war.
Mm.
That's what the Brits had.
Yeah.
And then there's some question that it wasn't the FBI SWAT teams that got the rescue done. It was the rabbi.
Yeah.
And I haven't sorted that one out yet either.
Well, first I'm like, why would you live in the state of Texas and not be carrying, even if you are a rabbi? You can still do it.
Yes.
And you should. We should all be carrying. Always.
Yes.
That would have solved that problem.
Have you been to Israel?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody carries.
Yeah, I know.
Every woman walking down the street, there is a pistol in their purse.
And that's really
why.
Every
one.
El Al has always been one of the best, safest airlines. I've always argued that I'd rather fly on an airline where people can carry. Like,
me
why
too.
Not? I mean,
why not?
I would feel far safer knowing.
No, if we had a bunch of law-abiding citizens,
nobody'd try anything.
Same
but
thing in
that'll
school
never
and all
happen.
That. Anyway, We want it. We always try to mention, don't forget that this danger and these terrorists, et cetera, are still out there. And it's just, it was a bizarre thing with this. But thankfully, everybody was released unharmed. Everybody was released unharmed. And the guy got killed. But
well, and it further validated our theory that the FBI is pretty corrupt and useless.
Yeah.
In some ways now. The way we used to think of our intelligence agencies cannot be thought of.
I know. And,
it's
and,
different
and
now.
That kind of hurts my heart, really.
It is. Because but you got to think, these things have been, I think these agencies have been infiltrated and corrupted for years. And we're just now seeing it. And
yes, then with just now only being exposed.
Yeah.
So, well, thank God that none of the people in the synagogue were harmed. They got out okay. But still, it's really just bizarre, especially when they came out and said, well, we don't think the Jewish community was targeted. What do you mean you don't think the Jewish
right.
community was targeted? You had a jihadist go into a synagogue to kill people and demand things. Anyway, all right, moving on. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just heard parts of it.
Yeah.
I listened to part of it on the radio, and that's awesome. Did you listen to his strange
Same way, in parts, because this is too much to bear. And it's actually better just to wait to the next day and, like, read the transcript. But this one was so...
No, I heard him in the radio.
It's so hard.
I'm working at my desk, and I'm listening to him on the radio. I'm going, what is he
saying?
It
doesn't make sense. Yeah, there's so many...
And I had to laugh, because James Carville, it was a good day. He was energetic and had stamina. It was a good day.
Well, and then forget, he'd been tucked away, though, for a full week.
Yeah.
Remember, I mean, when he has anything like this, they have to prep him.
Actually, let me ask you this. I listened, and there were several times I go, he's on something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, like, dude took Viagra, like three of them, right before the presser. He says, I'm up, I'm ready to go.
Lots of uppers.
Chill.
Yeah. Lots of uppers.
Something was going on there.
The content of the things he said, again, this was almost impossible to pick apart all of it because, it wasn't quite cohesive. But then the things that were just ridiculous that he would think people would buy it.
But
lapdog media, they do.
But actually, that was one of the odd things is the lapdog media actually
they did have
asked
a little bit
him
of a,
some pointed questions.
It felt
more
like
pointed
a,
questions, right?
A real press
that
conference.
That made him angry. That made him hit that get off my lawn mode. Probably the worst, biggest thing he did was he basically gave Russia a green light.
I know.
To invade. They don't. When he talked about that, people don't realize how nuanced you have to be when you're talking on, you're speaking on behalf of the United States of America, and how people take that. And he's like, yeah, you know, he's got to do something. He's going to do whatever he does, you know. And if it's not a major if it's a minor incursion, you know, we just have to argue about what we might do about it. It's like. And of course, the president of Ukraine jumped up immediately.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a minor incursion. No such
That's
thing as
right.
a minor incursion.
Yeah. How would you like to be us? Exactly.
No. And so, I mean, it's amazing to me. And what I was going to bring up, and people probably don't remember this. Do you remember when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is 1991. Do you know who got blamed for that? I can't remember her exact title, but I remember her name. Her name was Gina Haspel, and she may have been the ambassador to Iraq at that time, or she had some State Department.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back that she held a meeting with Saddam Hussein where he was railing about the Kuwaitis. And in that meeting, she basically said, well, we understand your frustration with the Kuwaitis, and said something to the effect that they don't rank that high on our priority list or something like that.
Yeah.
And so she got blamed because they said Saddam Hussein said, oh, so the United States doesn't care if I invade Kuwait. They're going to look the other way. And that's kind of what was going on
but he did it on the world stage.
He did it on the world stage. He said, well, you know, if it's a minor incursion, we'll have to argue about what we're going to do. And it's like, do you not think the Russians are listening to all that?
Well, think about how we are just, you know, kicking this back and forth. And the pundits in our country, we've listened to all day today. what do you think their pundits are saying? I mean, like, just recreate those conversations in your head, and you realize what a danger the whole world is in. Because
it's severe danger. Yeah. Because if they have designs on it, they've moved all their troops there. If they have designs on Ukraine, why would they not do it this winter?
Not to mention, remember how many people scoffed at those of us on the right? They were like, it's not. It could be a wag the dog situation. This has happened to kings all over. Whenever they're doing bad, they pull themselves into a war.
Does anybody think that?
That always happens.
No, I think wag the dog.
Yeah.
And sanctions he doesn't care about. You gave him the pipeline last summer. And does anybody really think that Biden's going to do anything with the military to any effect, even if he tries?
Well, actually, he's going to put the National Guard in some public spaces.
Yeah, put them
in schools.
In schools.
Like that. Not our border.
Right. Not the border. Schools. Not Ukraine, but your school because you parents are dangerous. Look, we're way over the break. Call us or text us at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
I can't get my. All right. Uh-oh. I'm having a malfunction here. All right, I got it. Sorry, folks. Had a malfunction with the headset.
Two ears, two headsets.
Two ears, two headsets. Oh, man.
And
all right.
Usually only one works.
I know. Only one. But I got it. I don't know. I almost strangled myself with a headset there. I know some of you would have been happy about that.
It's dangerous.
But I didn't. Okay, Common Sense Radio, we are back. James from Pensacola texts in and says, remember when James Carville used to be anti-war?
Really?
Yes, true. And Carville, he's sort of a hoot. And let's go back to the presser for a second. One of the other things, he went out there and he said, now, his first year has been a disaster. And he said, I think it's been great. I think, if anything, I overperformed. He said, I overperformed.
That's not even possible, but okay.
Joe, are you reading the same headlines and things everybody else is and the polls and all that? I mean, even the Democrats can't hide the polls. And that was what we were just talking about in the break. Maybe he doesn't know. You know that mock-up across the street of the Oval Office?
The little fake window.
Yeah, maybe they bring him in from Delaware and they say, we're in Delaware. This is Camp David. Now we're going to take you to the little fake Oval Office and you're going to say some things and you're going to sign some papers and we're going to take you back to your...
Like the movie The Truman Show.
Yeah.
Where to you, that is your world and it's real to you, but you're the only one that doesn't know.
So when he goes to the press conference, right, and the guy from Newsmax, like Charlie said, asks, why do you think...
The poll said a lot of people think he's not competent.
And they asked him why he thought that, and he said...
I have no idea.
No idea.
He probably doesn't.
And I'm listening to that, and I'm going, I think he was honest. I don't think he knows.
Yeah.
I think he is honest,
Or he could be acting.
But I sometimes wonder, does he literally not know? Okay, and then we need to get into also, he said, and we'll get into this, but it's about him saying the midterm elections might be illegitimate. Now, if you unpack that, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So, and that goes also, because he said the midterms might be illegitimate. So, wait a minute. So that means, was the last one illegitimate? No, the last one was legitimate, but the next one's going to be illegitimate.
It's almost like, so if I'm wearing a mask, but you're not wearing a mask, does my mask not protect your mask? Or
I know.
It's one of those circular reasoning questions where we're like,
thing. If
the elections are so unfair, then just 24 months ago, were they weren't so unfair?
Right.
Because we're getting punished for being called, questioning.
Now, the interesting thing is the media did not like him saying that.
Yeah.
He got a little blowback from the media.
Well, and then they grilled Kamala on it.
Right. And so.
And she,
boy, there's
she
a
blundered.
Well, because
even
I think
more.
The media realizes if they start questioning the legitimacy of the 22 election before it even happens, that opens the door to go back, you wouldn't really look at 2020. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they're doing? Go, no, don't ask those questions.
So it's like saying, that mask worked.
That mask worked.
But the new mask that you guys, this mask isn't going to work, so we need to wear double mask for this election.
Right.
I mean, it's something that stupid. Almost. Yeah, if you, and again, I think that's why we're seeing them just be so nasty and get all these crazy things start happening, because you can't, everyone seeing the logic and reasoning has been removed from almost every narrative now.
Right. No, if you're logical, reasonable, you're out. Yeah. You're out. No, and see, to me, this kind of goes to why 2020 has to be thoroughly investigated, and somebody has to give an adjudication, an assessment of it, because now we're going to get into the banana republic that every election the loser says it was illegitimate, yeah. They cheated, and the reason we've had peaceful transfer of power is because everybody said, okay, it was a fair election, we lost, we'll be back in 2 or 4 years and we'll do it again.
Yeah.
But if we get into this thing, it will only divide us more and get more acrimonious every cycle. So to me, when he says stuff like that, that's all the more reason to go back and make sure that 2020 was thoroughly investigated so people can say, all right, we investigated and here are the results, period.
And something that we can grab on both sides.
On both sides, to say we did it fairly. This is what
not
happened.
A sham Nancy Pelosi committee.
No, so everybody can be heard, and we can have. It's like the score at the end of the football game.
Yeah,
Alabama lost. Didn't like it. Very disappointed. But you know what? Georgia played a hell of a game.
Well,
and they won it fair and square.
Kind of connected to that, almost like learning that Santa isn't real. It's kind of like when you discover Nick Saban's a Democrat.
Oh!
Did you see that story went viral?
I know it went viral. The only thing I can think
is... But the reason it did is because it was just like that analogy. You know, people like to not think about politics with their football.
Right.
And this is the second time now that...
The more I think about it, Santa's not real, and oh my God, Saban's a Democrat.
It's that bad. But that was to me a very entertaining thread to read through this week, along with some of the
God,
really
I
bad
hope the
ones.
Kids are in bed. I hope the kids are in bed.
Well, Pete, can I interject one thing here real quickly? Because it drives me insane when I hear them talk about the Voting Rights Act that they want to do. Nobody's restricting anybody. All they're doing is passing laws to codify protecting the integrity of the ballot.
Exactly.
And if those laws are so bad, then let's throw out all the elections back to John Kennedy in 1960. Clinton was elected with those same laws in effect.
Obama was elected twice with those same laws.
You know, this week,
we elected a black president
twice. They really
twice.
Just marred MLK's
reputation.
I mean, that
so
was
exploited.
Such a... But, you know, these people, they're marching for rights to vote, and you just want to walk up and say, you can vote.
Yeah,
you hello,
can.
Like... You're not what? I mean,
and actually, in Chicago, you can vote often.
And it's
drag
just
that photo ID
shame.
Out that you're
right.
carrying around every day.
Okay, yeah. We got Kevin from Mobile has been holding patiently. Kevin, I think you want to chime in on the voter rights. Tell us about it.
Hey, I do right there. But one thing I'd like to say, the current president administration, they'll be living in the metaverse pretty soon, right there, and everything will just be great in their world. So that's kind of a crazy thought here, but. Yeah, with the voters, right, you'd think that LBJ was going to be talking to the nation tonight right there. You know, this is the most ludicrous, crazy thing in the world right there. As you just stated, if you are an American citizen and you haven't been incarcerated and had your rights taken away because you did something stupid, you can go and vote in every election right there. Okay? Now, get this. You've got to have an ID. What is so wrong about that? When you go to get a fishing license, you have to show an ID. When you have to get a voting license, you have to ID a hunting license for your
job. You might have to have a vaccine ID.
Oh, right there.
Get a job.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. These people are trying to say that people are taking somebody's civil rights away, that you cannot vote because you cannot produce an ID for whatever reason. So what I'm going to do there is I'm going to come in and I'm going to gerrymander where you live, and I'm going to take away your federal funding and make it real hard on you and your city and community, so you'll cowtail down and say, okay, we're going to do this for you because we need that federal funding. You know, the same thing's happening here in Mobile, where they're trying to gerrymander, redistrict all of our seven districts. It's happening right here in Mobile. It's not just a federal thing. It's right here in Mobile. People, they need to go and they need to talk to their city council people and say, look, we don't want all this redistricting right here. Okay, keep your federal funding. You know, you're screwing up Mobile, Mobile County, the city, the state of Alabama, and the country at large right there. Okay, everybody has the right to go cast one ballot. Okay, you have that right. It's not your right, it's your duty to do that. So these idiots in Washington to sit there and stir up like it's 50-plus years ago and Jim Crow's out there, this is ludicrous. How these people can actually take a paycheck in Washington and go and would pass it.
Hey, Kevin, let me ask you this. And it shows the ludicrous thing about this supposed voting rights. Oh, there's voter suppression. How do they reconcile the fact that in 2020, 26 million more people voted than 2016? It went from 129 million votes cast to supposedly 155 million votes were cast in 2020. That is a greater increase in the voting in almost.
Right. Oh,
that's more people voted. The increase from 2016 to 2020 is greater than the in those 4 years is greater than the last 40 years.
Nobody was suppressed.
Nobody was suppressed. We set a credible record for votes supposedly cast and counted. And I say supposedly. So how do you need a Voting Rights Act for voter suppression?
You don't.
So they're going to come back and they'll say, because they didn't vote for us. That's their biggest thing.
They didn't vote for us.
Yeah.
And people on the right, they say, listen, we let these people get away like third graders for years and years. They don't get their way. They throw themselves on the ground and they scream and cry right here. It's kind of like that episode of Andy Griffith and a kid's talking to Opie. He says, throw yourself on the ground and throw a temper tantrum. Your dad will give you what you want. So that's what the American people have laid down. It's time for the Republican Party to stand up and say, you know what? We're going to vote you out of office for years and years to come right there. We're going to put our country back on the path where it needs to be. These countries are going to respect us from now. We're going to put our military back as number one. We're going to take care of the American citizen for a change. We're going to go down to Texas. We're going to secure our border. And that's what we're about. And that's what we're going to do. People go to cast that one vote. This midterm election, vote these clowns out forever.
It's coming.
For our lifetime. Because our kids have got the right to enjoy what we did in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, right? And we had a great place to live called the United States. It's time for us to take back our country at the voting ballot legally.
And we can do it. Kevin, we're over the break. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening.
Take care.
Yep, God bless America. We got to come right back at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, and at the bottom of the hour, we bring aboard a very special sponsor, and that is Mission First Mortgage. And what is their mission? It's you, your home, your financing. They will make sure you are pre-approved, pre-qualified for the most you possibly can be, so you have that letter and confidence when you go shopping for that dream home, that new place to raise your wonderful, beautiful family. Mission First Mortgage. They're mission-focused, mission-oriented. They are the ones you want to go to. It's Mission 1, stmortgageinc.com. I know, it's a long, just call, Google it, Mission First Mortgage, or call Brian Dewberry at 251-289-1141. 251-289-1141. Call him. He runs a great team. He's an old Marine. He runs a tight ship there, but they're loving and compassionate. He'll hate that I said that. But they do a really, really good job in making sure you get qualified for the most that you possibly can. So look, here, Mission First Mortgage, call them at 251-289-1141. And here we go. We have wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Martin Luther King was born in 1929 in an America where, because of the color of their skin, nearly one in ten lived lives that were separate and unequal. Most black Americans were taught in segregated schools. Across the country, too many could find only poor jobs, toiling for low wages. They were refused entry into hotels and restaurants, made to use separate facilities. In a nation that proclaimed liberty and justice for all, too many black Americans were living with neither. In one city, a rule required all blacks to sit in the rear of public buses. But in 1955, when a brave woman named Rosa Parks was told to move to the back of the bus, she said no. A young minister in a local Baptist church, Martin Luther King, then organized a boycott of the bus company, a boycott that stunned the country. Within 6 months, the courts had ruled the segregation of public transportation unconstitutional. Dr. King had awakened something strong and true, a sense that true justice must be colorblind, and that among white and black Americans, as he put it, their destiny is tied up with our destiny, and their freedom is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. In the years after the bus boycott, Dr. King made equality of rights his life's work. Across the country, he organized boycotts, rallies, and marches. Often he was beaten, imprisoned, but he never stopped teaching nonviolence. Work with the faith, he told his followers, that unearned suffering is redemptive. In 1964, Dr. King became the youngest man in history to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Dr. King's work brought him to this city often. And in one sweltering August day in 1963, he addressed a quarter of a million people at the Lincoln Memorial. If American history grows from 2 centuries to 20, his words that day will never be forgotten. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood.
And there we go. That was a long 2.5 minute clip from November 2nd, 1983. And that was Ronald Reagan's remarks on the signing of the bill that made Martin Luther King's birthday a national holiday in 1983. And I wanted to get those remarks because that goes with my column this week that you can get at renewamerica.com or you can get it at bamanewsnow.com. You can get them at both. Martin Luther King had a dream for all Americans was my column this week. And you heard it in Ronald Reagan's remarks. And this is what's in my column, what people tend to forget and what we need is a unifying message. Martin Luther King fought for the rights for black Americans, but he fought for the rights for all Americans. He didn't fight and say we want special rights. He didn't fight and say we want different rights. He said there are God-given rights to all humans, regardless of color, and we want them for all. And he said in there that we are inextricably linked. We cannot walk alone. We are bound to one another. This freedom. That is really powerful, and that's what's missing. Because we are so polarized, we think there's a Democrat-type liberty and a Republican for liberty and a liberal liberty and a conservative liberty and a white liberty and a black liberty. And so we're divided because we think, oh, it's two different ways. We have to get the two different ways about it. It's not. It's one version of freedom and God-given rights and liberty, and that's what MLK was fighting for everybody, and that's why he said at the end he hoped that the sons of former slave owners and the sons of former slaves could sit down together at the same table and break bread and celebrate their freedom and their God-given rights, because it's an idea. It's a concept. It's not a Republican version. It's not a Democrat version. It's not a liberal version, not a conservative version, not a white version, not a black version. It's the truth. That's what he wrote about. That's what the column is. Martin Luther King had a dream for all Americans, mm-hmm. Not just black Americans, not just white Americans. Go check it out at renewamerica.com or bamanewsnow.com. BamaNewsNow.com. Go check them out at those two. That's what we need to get back to, because the elite and the media are trying to divide us over a bunch of partisan crap when really the truth and those things bind us more than we know. We have much more in common than we know, except for maybe football. Right?
Yes.
Except for maybe football. Okay.
That would be it.
All right. Rant's over. We have Stephanie Dernan from Health Freedom Alabama, who is on the line to give us an update. Remember, she was the one who put together this magnificent assault. Okay, not assault. Rally at Montgomery at the State House.
Well, we did deliver assault packets.
You did deliver. Yes.
Real assault packets. So, yeah.
Stephanie, are you on the line?
I am. Good evening, y'all. Thanks so much for having me.
No, we love having you. Now, give us an update of where we are on what's going on in Montgomery. Because, you know, I mean, we went up there, harassed them for a day, and
it's
really
easy.
It's
been a week, yeah.
In a week, it's really easy to tune them out. So tell us, what have they done?
Well, they haven't done anything. They've gone into special session inside of a regular session, and what that's essentially going to do is burn out time so that when they get done with everything and they don't actually get to address anything really important, they're going to just say, oh, we're so sorry. We just ran out of time. But so, you know, I always promise y'all that we give you updates on those badly behaved politicians, and we've got a doozy of one for you. So while we were all up at the State House, we had some Alabama citizens in the halls of the Alabama State House, and there was a situation with Representative Ed Oliver out of District 81 up in Tallapoosa County, and he had to be held back by security and pinned against the wall and pushed back down the hallway to keep him from assaulting citizens of Alabama in the State House hallway.
Well, Stephanie, I saw part of this video that didn't really show what got him upset. Why was he doing that?
Well, the citizens were asking him why he removed his name as a co-sponsor from HB 31, and he just got verbally defensive. Security was standing right there, and as Representative Oliver asked security to expel these citizens from the State House, and security looked at him and said, no, sir, I can't do that. They're not doing anything wrong. And he just became enraged. There was a gentleman that was taken up for a single mother who was a nurse right there that was trying to explain to Mr. Oliver exactly what is going on and how she's going to be losing her job still and how she could lose her house. And she's been trying to care for her three children by herself. And Mr. Oliver, from my understanding, according to eyewitness reports, just was being very rude. And this gentleman who stood up for this woman in the hallway said, hey, you're not being a good representative. You're not listening to this woman, and that's your job as our representative, to listen to us. And he just became even more irate and balled up his fist, and the security saw what was happening and jumped in between Mr. Oliver.
Well, thank God they were there, because there's not a lot of security wandering the halls.
I'm sorry?
There's not a lot of security wandering halls, so thank God they were there.
Yeah, did a great job, from what I understand, protected our citizens from being assaulted by Mr. Oliver.
So is he a Republican? I don't know.
He is.
Mm. He's a Republican.
Which is our problem in Montgomery.
That is our problem. Has anybody gotten a statement from him?
It turns out he's received some campaign donations from the Progress PAC, which is the BCA PAC. So he's getting paid off by the BCA.
So, but has anybody tried to get a statement from him of why this happened?
He has gone radio silent.
Well,
you know what? I want you to gather all the video, all the evidence you got. I want to send it to some people in Montgomery and go, come on now. Somebody needs to answer what's going on here. What is wrong with that guy? Why was he so offended? Now, to me, the good news is that the security was like, wait a minute, this is the people's house. They're abiding by the laws.
Yeah,
they're not
they
doing
said
anything.
That they knew what was right, and they stood up for that.
And they stood up for that.
Good job on the security.
And is he the best quality legislator somebody could elect to send to Montgomery?
And who do we know in Tallapoosa County anyway? We need to call up there. Does anybody know anybody
there's gotta
up there?
There's got to be somebody.
You know somebody?
There's got to be somebody.
Yeah. Well,
I'm trying. I think I know a guy who ran for county commission up there.
Though that day, again, we didn't have this large crowd we were maybe dreaming of. The right people were there, and it did. It shed light on the bad, those bad legislatures. And Stephanie and I, we were talking earlier in the week. That's the main thing. You know, just even if you think your voice is small, sometimes it's just being in the right place at the right time. And it was exactly that last week.
So. Are they bad or on the take?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but also, you know what you're demonstrating, Stephanie, and this goes back to the next time we do this. Folks, if you're listening out there, if you have never done this field trip to Montgomery, next time we do one, I'm telling you, you need to go. It is eye-opening to see how it works and to actually see
it's funny
how your representatives and state senators act.
It's entertaining, but much more than that, it's really your duty.
It
because
is your duty.
It is our house. We pay for it, and these people, it is their job to listen to us.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah. No, you know what it reminds me of is on one of my ships, I had this master chief, and if you had a complaint, his first question is, who did you tell? If you didn't make it a formal complaint to let somebody who could do something know about it, he said, I don't want to hear the whining. If there's a problem, you need to let the chain of command know. Don't go walking around the mess decks whining about it.
Yeah.
If there's a problem, let us know.
Yeah.
If you're just whining, that's okay. But his was always his first question. Who did you tell?
Well, and there is a procedure for how do you do that.
Yes.
And you have to be rather not lazy to do it. It is easier to whine and complain, but yeah. So can you, I think we are over, are we over the break?
Yeah,
Charlie?
We're over the break, so you got to wrap it up,
can
Teresa.
Can you hold for a few more seconds
and get back?
Okay, Teresa's going to make you stay on the
just
line.
Just one more thing. All right, and then
all right,
we'll go.
We will be back with Stephanie Dernan. Text in your questions at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, and I know that there's crippling inflation and all that stuff, and your jobless reports are going up, and prices, everything going up, you can't afford nothing, but don't worry. Uncle Joe says if you let him spend more government money, you'll be okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Build Back Better. And the funny thing is, they said, okay, we can't get Build Back Better passed because the American people don't like it so much that even Democrats can't get it through. So what we're going to do, we're going to break it up and hide it in other bills.
Yep, that's what's happening.
And they really did say that. They came out and said, we're just going to break it up and hide it in the NASA bill here, and a little bit over here, and a little bit over there.
Well, and that's the question I wanted to ask Stephanie. So we're in a special session now, correct?
You got to say yes. This is like a stenographer in court, Stephanie.
Yes, we are in a special session.
But does that eat into our regular session time?
You know, I've heard conflicting things, but mostly everybody I've talked to says that it does.
Okay.
See, that's a little bit weird to me because it seems to me the regular session has, was it 30 days, legislative days? And if you break into a special session, that is extraordinary. That is different. So I don't know how would that count against the regular session? That doesn't make sense to me.
I'm not sure. I haven't gotten confirmation from official people yet about that. But
why did they go
in
special sessions?
It's 3-1 saying yes, it does cut into the time. So
no, and Charlie said, why did they go in special session? And remember,
what are they considering?
All of this is really early, right? Because they want to get out so they can campaign for the May primaries. That's why we have it really early, and they're going to try to get out. Now, the special session, partly to answer your question, is the special session is restricted and limited so they can focus on certain things to get them through. And I'll let Stephanie pick up from there. What are they focusing on in this one? I don't even know.
Well, we call it the Biden blood money.
Oh, yeah. The
Yeah, it's the acronym?
It's the ARPA
funds. ARPA funds, like, which stands for American.
Yes, Alabama's getting $1 billion from the federal government, and they have to figure out a way to
spend it.
Allocate that.
Oh no, no, this is like the BP money.
Yep, that's exactly.
They're going. Oh, we got $1 billion bribe from the federal government, and we are going to sit down and figure out who gets what, which means South Alabama gets nothing.
Yeah. What can we do?
They have to get some to the hospitals because the hospitals are crying out that they don't have the staff or the money because they fired everybody. So now they're paying travel nurses 3 times the rate to bring them in, and the hospitals are trying for a big old piece of that chunk too.
And some of the travel nurses are the same people they fired.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Although, and did you see the thing in California? They have such a healthcare shortage. They fired all the unvaccinated people, and then they told the remaining vaccinated people who had COVID to stay on the job. Go ahead, go in there. Go in there with the ICU. I know you got COVID. Just put 2 masks on. You'll be okay. Don't worry.
Right.
It's ludicrous. It really is stupid. Okay, so tell us what we got to still do. Sum us up.
There's 2 things you need to do. I need everybody to call Speaker Mac McCutcheon. He is Representative Ed Oliver's boss. And Ed Oliver needs a consequence for his behavior. You can't treat people like that. You certainly can't treat people like that in the halls of the State House where you're supposed to be dignified and above the rest.
Have you released that to the media, Stephanie? Does the Montgomery Advertiser, the Press Register, do they have that? The Birmingham News?
I don't know if they've got it yet.
You need to get that out to the public and go, we want to know.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? That we have a state representative treating people like that. Why is this not out to the media? Why are they not picking it up?
Well, because they have to go cover how they're going to spend $1 billion right now in special session.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to push that more.
Yeah.
Well, Speaker McCutcheon's phone number is 334-261-0505, and he needs to censor Representative Oliver for his behavior.
So you need to call him and your local representative and say, we want Ed Oliver censored. It's 334-0505. Wait a minute. 334 what?
334-261-0505 is Speaker McCutcheon's phone number.
So you need to call McCutcheon or your state representative. Mm-hmm. Tell him we want Ed Oliver, State Representative Ed Oliver, held accountable.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
And while you're speaking to your representative, tell them how much HB 31 is important to you.
Yes,
because it'll stop that vaccine status discrimination in Alabama.
Okay.
Great call.
Thank you so much for giving us an update. Keep us updated so we know what's going on up there, okay?
I sure will, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, that's Stephanie Durger with Health Freedom Alabama. And what's their website?
HealthFreeAlabama.com.
Very easy. Okay, let's catch up on the text line. Pete, some poor guy named Pete, texted in, Nick Saban's stance on the Voting Rights Act was likely posturing to help with recruiting in the upcoming season. How many of his more conservative recruits did he turn off by doing so? And versus how many did he end gear on the more liberal side? I guess I see what he means. The only thing is, young guys playing football really care whether Saban's a Democrat or Republican, or do they want to win and get a good record so they get in the NFL?
Well,
and then David, that doesn't make sense to me. David Preston, I'm surprised that President Biden and Democrats have not suggested rounding up the unvaccinated into quarantine camps yet.
Actually, they have in Washington State. Yep.
Australia does it.
Austria's
doing it. And Washington State interested bill. And they could if they would, which makes no sense because who has more Omicron? The vaccinated. And we're out of time, except for I got to read. Tina said, you go, Brother Pete. Yay, MLK, nonviolent. Boo Malcolm X, no violence. Go, Tina. Thank you for putting that in there. Great text. All right, we're out of time, folks. Go to RenewAmerica.com or BamaNewsNow.com to read my column, Martin Luther King Had a Dream for All Americans. That's where we need to be, the American dream. for all Americans. That's what binds us. There's more that binds us than divides us. We just need to talk. Honey, it's time to come home.